Mind Your Farm Business on realagriculture.com is brought to you by RBC Royal Bank.
Welcome to the Mind Your Farm Business podcast, brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. I'm Sean Haney, founder of realagriculture.com, also the host of Real Ag Radio on Rural Radio 147 on Sirius XM. You can find more episodes of this podcast by going to mindyourfarmbusiness.com. Today's topic is difficult. It comes with anger, resentment, and a ton of pain. Yet no one plans for it because it will never happen to them or their family. We're talking about divorce. Specifically, how to protect your family farm from divorce and its possible catastrophic impacts on the family business. Everyone enters a marriage thinking it will last forever. Some last 60 years, and others just 6 months, but you really never know as the couple walks down the aisle. With so many marriages ending in divorce, why do people not protect their assets and financial interests ahead of time? Similar to farm succession, it's because we ignore the probabilities and assume we are different than the average. What's at stake could be your family farm business. Today's guest is Anjali Sharma of Davidson Williams of Lethbridge, Alberta. She's a lawyer of matrimonial law at a firm with many agricultural clients just like you. We're going to dive into protecting your family farm from divorce. Hi, Anjali. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really good, John. How are you?
Doing really well. So we're going to talk today about divorce on the farm and how to protect the farm from divorce. I guess I'll start off by asking, is there ever a marriage, a new couple that gets together, they get married? Is there ever a couple that doesn't think they're going to stay together forever?
Well, I've done some prenups, so there are a couple.
Okay, so
smart ones.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so we have to, when we do, you know, when there is a new marriage, the people do have that sort of that belief. You better have that belief going into a marriage that it's going to last forever. But of course, we know that they don't. And when couples do split up, it can get messy, and that can impact the farm. So I guess to start off, you mentioned it, prenup. Is that really where all this begins?
It certainly should be. So I think it's advisable if you're trying to protect the farm, if you're trying to protect, your future generations, wanting to keep it in the family, things like that, then probably a prenup is a really good idea, sort of going in. And that way both parties have an understanding of, you know, what assets are in the farm and how to protect those assets. So I think it's probably the best advice is if you have a family farm that you're wanting to protect, go talk to your lawyer about getting a prenup before you get married. It's probably a good thing to find out about.
Do you think that, from your experience, that a lot of prenups don't happen or don't even get discussed because people are just scared to bring them up?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. People don't want to have that conversation. It's not a comfortable conversation to have, obviously. If you're excited about getting married, you don't really want to talk about the prospect of divorce. But, realistic to sort of look at, especially with something like a farm where, you know, it's probably been in the family for some time, and it's something that you want to protect, and it's something that everyone's worked in, to have that conversation, right? The person that you're getting married to knows, presumably, that you have this ongoing business, and so it makes sense to have that discussion, even if it is a little bit uncomfortable. You might not want to do it the week before you get married. You probably want to do it a little bit further out than that, if possible. It's definitely a good idea.
And what are some of those things that make a prenup good? I guess obviously getting a lawyer involved is critical, but is there components that involve the farm that should really, really be in there?
Definitely. So generally speaking, so the way it's structured in Canada is that the federal government controls sort of divorce and marriage, but each particular province has its own matrimonial property regime. So, and this also applies to not just if you're getting married, but if you're also going to be cohabitating in a common law relationship. So similar property rules can apply depending on which province you're in. So it's definitely a good idea to consult a lawyer about what the rules are in your particular province. But you want to sort of try to exempt assets. So assets that you bring into your marriage or relationship, the value as of the date of marriage or when you started cohabitating, that's what you've brought in. So that's exempted from being divided later. But if you have assets that you acquired together, or if those exempted assets increase in value, then a prenup can sort of set down the values of the exempted assets, protect against the increases that may happen over the course of the marriage or over the course of the relationship, to protect that from division later should there be a divorce or separation. So, yeah. It's good to sort of know what you're getting into and what each party has going into the marriage.
Yeah, and I think you brought up a really, really critical point here, is that there are differences amongst the provinces. So just because you're, you know, if you're farming, you're a dairy farmer in New Brunswick, just because your buddy in Saskatchewan, his divorce was dealt with a certain way, doesn't mean that those same rules apply over in New Brunswick. So you need to make sure that you're not going on anecdotal sort of stories.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, sometimes couples will try to sort of have informal agreements with each other, which may not be upheld should the time come if they do end up going to through a divorce or a separation. So it's pretty critical to sort of get that advice beforehand, and then let the other person know what type of assets that you have, and it protects both parties. And then as long as both people know fully what they're getting into, both people have consulted with lawyers, preferably, and they get an agreement that, you know, at the end of the day, you want it to be upheld, right? So as much, knowledge that each person has going in and advice that they get, and if it's formalized in an agreement with lawyers, that's the best way to protect things. So you can't, going in, people sort of think that, oh, it'll be fine, you know, we'll end up agreeing, we've discussed it informally, but you know, things get emotional later on, and people don't necessarily uphold their informal agreements later when things are sort of going south.
Yeah, and you know what? We know in agriculture, family farm succession deals, there's a lot of them out there that just don't go the way that either all the parties or one of the parties involved want them to. And and really, divorce can be really the same way, is that if you go on assumptions and, oh, that other, you know, it'll all work out, we'll deal with it later, don't worry, you're probably getting yourself in a bind that you're really, really going to regret.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know farmers like to make handshake deals and things like that, and have a lot of trust. But, you know, I think if, especially if it's a family farm that you want to protect it, you want to leave it for your children, things like that, it's always better to sort of get that advice beforehand. And that way everyone knows what would happen just in case, right?
Yeah.
And everyone's protected. The other thing I would mention is, you know, if the farm is a corporation and you're letting the other spouse into the corporation through shares or things like that, that's also a a place where maybe after marriage that might happen, where each party would want to also get advice. So, you know, if you're, let's say, the wife who gets shares in the farm corporation and just sort of signs off on resolutions every year, doesn't really know quite what loans or things are going on, you know, you probably want to make sure if you're a shareholder or director that you know what's going on with the business side of things, and you're getting that advice before you're signing off on resolutions or loans or things like that, because you could be on the hook there as well. So
we're going to get right back to my discussion with Anjali Sharma of Davidson Williams right after this message from our sponsor.
This episode of Mind Your Farm Business Podcast is brought to you by RBC. While there is no way to eliminate all business risks you'll face, creating a sound risk management strategy will help mitigate some of the more common ones and give your business a leg up. The agriculture account managers at RBC can help you set your farm up for success. Visit rbc.com/agriculture to find an ag specialist near you.
Okay, well, let's do a little bit of a case scenario, sort of based on what you just said. So, father and daughter are farming together, and daughter gets married, and everything seems like it's going fine. And actually, her husband is helping out on the farm, and he's a welcome part of the family. Is it a smart thing? Is it good practice for them to issue shares to that son-in-law? Is that really protecting your farm against divorce, or what do you think about that?
I think it's going to depend on whether or not that family, you know, let's say the father wants to get out of the business and transfer everything over, and, you know, then the son-in-law is, you know, taking care of it, and they're going to have the want to leave those shares to their children later, that might be something that they want to consider doing and letting him into the corporation. But, you know, they might not want to do that if they kind of want to keep it in the family because there's a sister or someone else that's also helping out. I think it's going to be very fact specific. So I think if that's the case, then, again, you want to get that advice in place just to make sure that if that is something that's going to happen, that, you know, you have at least like a shareholders agreement in place that, again, everyone knows what they're getting into, because that's going to be the best thing to protect them. You could also look at things like a family trust as well. So it's, let's say, for example, the dad wants to leave it to the sister and the other siblings. In that case, they might want to put that into a trust for the family to go to the children, perhaps, right? So that might then get back into an exempted asset. So there's different ways to sort of set it up. It's just going to depend on what everyone wants to happen. And then that sort of goes back to making sure you're getting that advice in place from lawyers as well as accountants for any sort of tax implications that could arise as well. So,
and is it really a case of protecting yourself from the worst case scenario, even though you're obviously hopeful that the worst case scenario does not happen?
But absolutely.
Which is difficult.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's hard.
Yeah, because it's you know, going through a divorce is not an easy process by any means. And so if you have sort of these agreements in place beforehand, it can sort of smooth that transition. And then everyone sort of knows what's going to happen, right? And it sort of just helps later to facilitate the divorce or separation. And yeah, it's worst case scenario. A lot of these types of agreements will also deal with, you know, what happens if someone dies, or what happens if, you know, you have children, and how are you going to deal with support issues? So there's a lot of things that can be encompassed in these types of agreements beforehand, so that things a little bit can be smoother a little bit later when people aren't as agreeable.
Yeah, well, and you know, I think a lot of times when we think about this, we know this topic that we're talking about here, divorce on the farm, a lot of times we pick on the son-in-law and we pick on the daughter-in-law. But a scenario that can develop that is, it's out there. I know of a scenario where this happened, where it's actually mom and dad that get divorced at an older age, and the havoc that that can create in a family farm business when there's generations working below them, that has to be considered as well.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So that gets back to things like, you know, is mom on title? You know, maybe they got married at the time where, you know, a lot of times, you know, the father inherited from his father and they got married and never added mom onto the land or property, and they don't have any agreements in place. So, yeah, it can get rather messy, especially if mom's been making, you know, contributions to running the farm, but she's, you know, always relied on the dad to, you know, provide and hasn't really made those inquiries into the status of the farm or the business or what loan she might be on, things like that. So definitely then you're looking at things like estate planning for how do we keep the farm with the kids, what parcels are the kids farming, things like that. So yeah, it can get rather tricky. And definitely, again, going back to getting advice and then getting, in that case, a separation agreement in place, hopefully to protect everyone, and then getting estate planning in place and wills and things like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it can get rather complicated.
Well, but I think it's a good point. It kind of all ties together, right? It's not just about a prenup. It's not like this little isolated little island. It's about a series of things that tie together that, to be honest, I think a lot of, not just farm families, but a lot of family businesses in general kind of ignore because they're really, really difficult conversations that involve family members and not necessarily, you know, employer to employee. And so when emotions involved and the family blood, it's easier to avoid than really discuss. Now, we've talked a lot about, we sort of focused at the beginning kind of on the prenup. We've missed that part, I'm making up numbers, 10 to 15, 20, 25 years into the marriage. Is there things that we should do, like if we've kind of missed that boat, are we kind of, is the ship sailed?
No, so you can get postnuptial agreements. So same thing. It's just sort of planning out what would happen if there was a divorce or separation or a death. So you can also do that as a part of estate planning as well. So you can set up things like trust. So let's say they've been married for 10 years, they have minor children, and they want to set up the assets so that the children will inherit at a future date. That can be done in a couple of different ways, through wills or through setting up like an express trust. That can also have tax deferral consequences or advantages. So there are definitely things that you can do. So the ongoing conversation, if there's a new things that arise, a new property that's being purchased or significant assets that are being divested, or you've decided to incorporate, then again, you can get that advice in place. Particularly if, let's say, a corporation is being entered into with a third party. So one of the spouses is a shareholder in another corporation, and then later there's a divorce. The spouse might have some right to that, which might upset the other shareholders. So they might want to give some consideration when they enter into a shareholder agreement to what would happen in case of a divorce. So, there's significant changes that are happening during the marriage. Again, get that advice in place. Find out how to protect that. what would happen in a case of a separation or a divorce, or if you're just wanting to do estate planning, it's always good to sort of consult when there's a major change to your assets. Business.
Yeah, you mentioned handshake deals before, and we've actually done an episode here on the Mind Your Farm Business podcast all about how to avoid the handshake.
Yes.
but I would imagine that there's a few deals that are done too, where it's, I would call it kind of the napkin agreement, which is not that much farther past the handshake, mm-hmm. where things are sketched mm-hmm. out on a napkin and everybody thinks it's solid. Maybe not as mm-hmm. solid as you would think at first signing something like that.
Yeah, because I mean, I think people get excited and they want to enter into an agreement, and you know, there's a level of trust involved, right? And you know, you don't necessarily want to do anything that might shake that up, right? But you know, it's always good to sort of look at the future, like you said, the worst case scenario, right? You know, lawyers and accountants, I think, always try to plan for worst case scenarios, and you know. What would happen if, like I said, there's a death or there's divorce or there's some other sort of unanticipated consequence that maybe you should have thought about at the time, right? So, yeah, it's always good to get that advice in place beforehand. It saves a lot of work and a lot of money, you know, to spend a little bit more upfront. It's definitely worth it to get that in place.
Yeah, I think a lot of people justify their avoidance by saying, you know, my farm is different or my marriage is going to be mm-hmm. different, and it can work out, of course, and everybody hopes it does.
Absolutely.
But they can also go the other direction as well. Anjali, this has been a fantastic discussion. I really appreciate you providing us with the information here on the Mind Your Farm Business podcast. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right. Thank you so much, Sean. I appreciate it.
The decision to get married is a heavy one. Even heavier are the consequences if it does not work out. Anyone in the family farm unit can go through it, and the ripple effects are long in nature if some work is not done to protect the family farm business. Not many of you listening likely have a prenuptial agreement, or even a postnup. Many people in society do not. I hope that you enjoyed today's discussion. If you have any feedback, please email me at shaney@realagriculture.com or call the Real Ag Listener line at 855-776-6147. I would love to hear your stories of dealing with divorce on the farm and how you did or didn't protect the farm business. You can find more episodes of Mind Your Farm Business at mindyourfarmbusiness.com. Thanks to RBC Royal Bank. And until next time, keep on minding your farm business.